And we're joined live in studio now by the Minister for Environment, Climate and Communications and leader of the Green Party, Eamon Ryan. Minister, you're here to talk to us about a new initiative to raise awareness about climate change, but no doubt you'll want to pass on your own congratulations and that of the government to the gold medalists, the heroes in Tokyo.
No, absolutely. And just hear Fintan and Paul, they're talking about the hard work that they've done delivering, but also recognising Sunita Puspur and everything she's done for Irish rowing and the inspiration to young men, boys and girls. I think it's a great morning and I think fair play to them.
Okay, now you are here to talk about a series of creative and artistic projects which are being unveiled this morning with the aim of engaging the public about the changes that people will have to make to address climate change. The projects include coastal light installations, reimagined Bordnamona villages, decarbonisation projects and pop-up energy stores. The cost of this project is €2 million. What do you hope to achieve by it?
It's working with communities. It's starting from the ground up in local communities about how can we make the leap we need to make to address this climate challenge we face. And this summer, more than any previous one, I think, we have a sense of that. We see the climate events, the catastrophic heat events happening in North America, the catastrophic flooding happening in Central Europe, right across the world. We're seeing now events happening, which we'd worried about and predicted and been concerned about, but they're happening in real time, in real life.
So do we need then artistic projects and to be spending €2 million on them to highlight the impact of climate change when, as you say, it's all around us?
Yes, well, firstly, it's going to be very good for those communities, those artistic communities. We need to get them back working. And I think there's a real important job that they have, we all have, in actually thinking about how we approach this and thinking how we communicate it. Thinking how we tell the story of climate change is hugely important for us to make the scale of the leap we need to make. And how we tell this story is, I think, starting by being creative and by working with community and by listening to local farmers, local builders, local towns as to what does it mean for us? What do we do? What can we do? How do we approach it?
Okay, but people might wonder if perhaps that money could be put to better use in, we'll say, retrofitting houses, and that would have a more meaningful and direct impact on climate change.
Yeah, but and some of that money will be used actually with local communities to think how we do it. And how do we go back to earlier on there, I was saying about how the Olympic rowers had inspired our young people. We need to inspire a new generation of young Irish people to actually go into the very trades we need to become the plumbers and the carpenters and the foresters and the builders of the future, and to actually inspire them that this is actually going to be for me, my career, my moment, my golden moment.
And is this
moment.
The way to do it with art installations?
Yes, arts is really important. How we tell the story of what the change we need to make is actually critical. I did a lot of work in previous years back looking at how you communicate about climate change, how you actually get this across. And if it's just done as a kind of purely technocratic, scientific, economic story, it won't appeal to actually what we need to appeal. That same sense of pride we heard with Aron Navrin here on the radio this morning. We need that sense of pride in the scale of change we're going to meet to face climate change. So absolutely, it's important that we involve our creative, artistic, music and other communities in this change. Okay. They're part of it too.
I want to ask you about a couple of other issues. The Chief Medical Officer, Dr. Tony Houlihan, spoke yesterday about the possible further easing of COVID restrictions if certain vaccination targets are met. What restrictions are likely to be lifted next?
I think, firstly, we have to recognise that those vaccination targets that we have been meeting are phenomenal. We have an incredible story as a country in terms of how we have actually pulled ahead now. For most of the first part of this year, we were looking at the UK and US ahead of us. We've passed out the US and we're about to pass out the UK in terms of level of vaccination. And that, as Dr. Tony Houlihan says, does give us strength. That gives us the ability to do further reopenings. There is a number of small changes that have already come. People announced it from the cabinet meeting earlier in the week in terms of weddings, which we've agreed.
Yes, but what's next? What is he talking about?
Well, firstly, what's next? It has to be the return to work and to college. We already are back in school, but we need real life return. We also need, going back to what I was saying earlier on about our creative industries, they're the industries that have probably been worst hit: music, arts, entertainment. not immediately, but we will start planning now in the coming weeks to see how those other industries, the ones who've been worst hit, the likes of the cultural industries, that they too can start planning a return. Now, how we do this is important. We continue with what has worked, that we've done it in a stage, step-by-step basis. We don't reverse, so we do it in a way where if we open something up, we're not going to have new restrictions and therefore coming back. So better to do it in a planned way. The next couple of weeks, I suppose, is still a very tight and is still a period when we do have to be careful. We have high levels of transmission. There's 1,400 cases yesterday. There's 26 additional people going into hospital every day. So it's not, this shouldn't be a signal of, oh, you know, it's all over. It's not.
Okay, but specifically, Minister, I want to ask, because I know the Irish Times is reporting today that your colleague Catherine Martin has written to the Minister for Health calling for the reopening of the live music and entertainment sector using digital COVID certificates. Is that something that you support and that you want the government to look at now?
Yes, and we agreed in government the other day that later on this month and planning it out into the autumn period, we need the same for those industries. We need to bring them back in the same organised, step-by-step, safe way.
When do you think they could come back?
I'm not going to give a date here for that today, because we do, as Catherine said in her letter, what we need to do is start planning that, start getting the everything in place so we can do it safely, so we can do it in the same staged reopening way that we've done, and as we have successfully done the other sectors, the other industries.
When will the Cabinet meet to review all of this and to decide when workplaces should return and live music and entertainment should return?
The Cabinet Subcommittee on COVID will be meeting through August. So we're meeting again, I think 6th of August is the next meeting. And then we have regular meetings right through the summer period. Full Cabinet then comes back later in August, and it's in that sort of time frame that I expect we'll be able to start setting out, here's the further reopening process.
And do you expect that workplaces will return, people will return to work in September?
I do. And I think it's important. I think it's important. Part of the health picture in this, as we've said right the way through, is also our mental health and also the health of our society. The importance you get when you are able to come back into the office, and a lot of people are back in work, but for those who haven't, those office and other workers who haven't, I think it is an important part of their health to be able to have. And it won't be, again, it won't be everyone all back on 1st of September, but I think we do need to start planning for that. It'll be done probably in a hybrid basis. It'll be done on a stage basis. And yes, I think that return to work is also part of this this gradual, safe transition that we've been engaged in.
Can I ask you about the appointment of Catherine Zappone as Special Envoy for Freedom of Expression? Were you happy with the way that appointment was made?
No, I don't think anyone was happy. And I think the Minister of Foreign Affairs himself admitted that in hindsight, he would have announced that differently. But
Why did you agree to it then at Cabinet if you weren't happy?
Because I've also experienced with Catherine Zappone, the area she's going to work in is an area where she has real expertise, where she's shown over many years to be an absolute leader. So,
did you voice any concerns at Cabinet about the process here?
I'm not going to discuss what was said at Cabinet. You know I can't do that. But I mean, the Taoiseach was out yesterday, I think, acknowledging that process wasn't appropriate.
But I'm just wondering, if, from a Green Party perspective, your party released a statement last night saying it's important that the appointment of envoys is looked at to ensure a more transparent system is in place. If a transparent system was not in place on this occasion, why didn't you raise it at Cabinet where you have a voice?
I'm not going to discuss what was said at Cabinet, but I did, with the Taoiseach and Taoiseach, shared my views. They know exactly what our position is. But what we agreed on is, despite those misgivings on process, that actually Catherine Zappone, in the work that has been done here, is a very good candidate. She will be an excellent envoy, and that I also shared with them.
Would you prefer, I mean, we know in this case Catherine Zappone seems to have suggested herself for the job. Would you prefer if positions like this were advertised in the future so that people could apply?
Yes, I think that whole process, as I said, is not something that I think we could learn from. But is Catherine Zappone well qualified for what is a limited role? It's backing up work she's already doing and us being able to benefit and avail
of that. But future positions like this, you think they should be advertised openly, do you?
I think in all positions, in all jobs we have, the more open and the more transparent it is in terms of what sort of positions available, yes. But this is a part-time position. It is working, I think, for about 50, 60 hours a year. But those 50, 60 hours, which Catherine Zappone has, I think she will do a very good job at it.
All right. Minister for Environment, Climate and Communications and leader of the Green Party, Eamon Ryan, thank you for joining us on Morning Ireland.